Morning, church.
A little hard to cough when you have a microphone on. I have to tell the microphone operator that I'm going to cough. Huh?
Well, church, I come here this morning knowing that this body went through a love feast last week. So I'm curious. What has happened? What has taken place in your life this past week that was different than maybe some other weeks for you? But we're not going to take that time now. But David, in your prayer, we're talking about reaching out. And you just prayed about that. We're reaching out. How do we reach out as kingdom builders? How do we reach out as kingdom builders? And certainly, as you were encouraged, built up from the Love Feast service, it's always a high point, a high time in a Christian's life to be able to share together at the Love Feast tables. So how do we reach out around, how do we reach out to those around us? Let's have a scripture read for us that we're going to be focusing a little bit on this morning is John 15. 7 to 17, read for us. John 15, 7 to 17.
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you very much. Abiding. Abiding, the connection that we see here so that we can bear much fruit. We can bear much fruit. The thing is, you and I are here for a brief stay. And as we had a funeral yesterday for my cousin, we find out the brevity of life. As flowers, Psalm 103:15 says, as for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Our life is what? A vapor. A vapor. Sometimes I have to think of a vapor. How long does vapor last? Well, sometimes when I'd be where my parents lived, we could look and we could see the vapor down at the nuclear plant down that way. I can't think of the name right now. No.
Limerick.
You'd see that. That vapor is a long way away, has lasted. What is your life between the dash, between the day that you were born till the day that you're going to leave this earth? Yeah, that can be quick, it can be slow in many ways, but our life is a vapor. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know what life shall be on... You know not what life shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. What are the opportunities that you and I have? What are you doing for the Lord where you are, while you're here? Now, what are those things that Christ talks about that will last? What are those things? Well, Let's go to Matthew 25. Let's now go to Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40. Somebody has a paper on that, I think. Matthew 25, 35 to 40.
I have that. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.
Thank you. What's a list there that is talking about of what will last for kingdom building? You probably, in your lives, have been involved in some of these. I've been involved in going to prison some years ago. I didn't get no ticket or anything that I had to be there. But I went to prison. We were in Atmara, Alabama, in a federal prison. You walked in there. We had to have somebody tell, Mary knows about this stuff. You had to have somebody know that you were coming. And when this door opened, this door was locked in front of you. Then they would lock both doors. Then you'd go to they'd open this door and allow you to go to the next one. And you just kept going. Yeah, it was quite a feeling. As well as I've had some time in Lancaster prison with a fellow that got himself into some trouble, and I was able to go visit him. That time, I was able to be in a room at a table with him. Other times I've been there, I had to talk on the phone through the glass to see them. Or else there was a place where it allowed the sound to go through. That's not very nice. To make conversation, to share together. But that's the way the system is set up. That's the way it is. But we see that it says here, I was in prison and you came unto me. You were not afraid to come to me because of people, what they would say. Why? Because of a relationship building that we have, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That puts in our hearts, in our minds, the reason for doing that, for taking in a stranger, for clothing somebody, for somebody that's sick and visiting. Well, now with COVID around, you know, it's not always visiting, but it can be a phone call. It can be a text or messaging or all those other things that you young people have I have it available to me too, that's right. But I don't have the knowledge, that's what it's called, knowledge to understand how to do it at this point. Let us take a look at the things that Jesus did when he was here in this earth. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law in Mark 1. The healing of the demonic son in Mark 9. How about Peter walking on the water? Jesus was walking on the water to him, to them. And then Peter, we know Peter, we know his lifestyle, his character was different than some people because Jesus called 12 people that were totally different from each other, but he had a purpose for each one of them. And then Peter says, can I walk in the water to you? And Jesus says, come. But because he looked around and he saw those waves, he started to sink. And Jesus reached out and took his hand. You and I, some of us in many years ago, some recent, some to come in the future, Jesus is waiting to reach out to take your hand and bring you in from those sinking waters of life. From the sinking waters of life. How are we helping a brother or sister to bring good cheer? And when Peter saw, and the rest in the boat saw Jesus coming, what did Jesus say? He says, did he say, I'm Jesus coming to you? No, he said, be of good cheer, it is I. It is I, be not afraid. And I think sometimes we need to understand it is the I, it is the Holy Spirit that is coming to us to guide us. And then as we look on, we see that we're to be the salt of the earth, because salt is a preserving factor. We are to be the salt factor in people's lives. We're to be the salt factor. How are you as being the salt factor in your workplace, in your family, with your friends? I remember a time that somebody was going to tell a joke or something, but they said, oh, we have a preacher here, and we can't tell it. Well, I said to him, the Lord's here. No matter if you think I'm the one that you're not going to tell the story because of, the Lord knows it. He hears it. Whenever we think that we're trying to hide something, how well do you do at that? It's because we don't have the knowledge in our heads that we cannot, that he knows all things that are going on anyway. So we can't hide nothing from him. So we are the salt factor. I pray that this week, you may be the salt factor to someone. Can we have read for us Matthew 5, 13 through 16? It's a familiar scripture, but I think that, the hearing of the word is very important.
You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
Thank you. The salt factor is that we need to let our light so shine before men that they can what? See our good works and glorify Glenn? No, glorify God. Glorify God. That's the important part of that. Let me share an illustration here about a car, a railroad car that people were going to travel on. There were two travelers who fancied that they were abundantly able to take care of themselves. They entered into this railroad car when the train was being made up and found comfortable seats. They dropped into conversation when a porter looked in and told them to go forward. They said, what's the matter with this coach? They asked. Nothing, he grinned. Only it's not coupled to anything that will take you anywhere. That's the reason. This is the trouble with many beautiful creeds and theories that sound well, but they do not take you anywhere. The soul that would journey heavenward must make sure that there's a coupling. I think I heard that this morning already. In some of our singing, we were talking about being connected. This is the trouble with many beautiful creeds and theories. They sound well, but they don't take you anywhere. The soul that would journey heavenward must make sure of the coupling. That is it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think we're sometimes like those ladies that got in that railroad car and they sit back and we think, here we go. But it's not connected. Not connected. And our scripture talks about being abiding in the vine, being connected to the vine, getting that nourishment. So how do we go about sharing the good news? Whereby, as men and women come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or boys and girls come to know the Lord as their Savior. The need of salvation, because we all have sinned. None of us can say we haven't sinned. We've all been there. We're a sinful people born into a sinful world. We need a Savior. Titus 3, 3 through 7, please. Titus 3, 3 through 7.
At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that way we may be justified by his grace, and we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life.
Thank you. What is the meaning of salvation? To be saved and rescued from sin, saved to God and his righteousness. How to be saved is God's part. That's how. That's God's part to do. Man can't earn salvation. Remember some of the scriptures. There was a time when I believe the disciples were healing somebody, and they thought, well, if we give them some money, they could also do it. Or they wanted to pay them to do this. No, that's not the way it happens. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Of course, we just came through the Ephesians part of it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is what? It is a gift from who? God. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, how many people would like to work their way into the kingdom? By doing this and by doing that, we're putting brownie points on the list. You know, there again, we're salt. God sees us. God knows us. He knows what we're doing. What is man's part in salvation? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a young man who was distinguished for his mathematical attainments, and he was fond of challenging people to solve difficult problems. So a classmate of his came with a folded paper. Here's a problem. I wish you would help me solve, and immediately left the room. He opened the paper eagerly, and instead of a math problem, there were traced lines. And it said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? With a gesture of impatience, he tore the paper into atoms, small pieces, and again turned to his books. But in vain he tried to shake off the impressions of the solemn words he had just read. The Holy Spirit pressed home conviction of guilt and danger that he could no way change until he finally found peace in believing in Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's what you call fishing for men and knowing what bait to use when you're reaching certain people. Certain people respond to certain things in certain ways. You and I have the privilege to know people and to know what it is that God would have us use at that time. As we walk and as we talk and as we hear with Jesus, we will be in relationship with him and experience real joy. The real joy. Now, I'm going to read some verses here. I'm reading from Psalm 126:5. that says, "They that sow in tears shall reap joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Yesterday, we heard about the life of my cousin Len. He was a truck driver, but he also was a witness for the kingdom. And he also was at the Transport for Christ Chapel at Frystown and Harrisburg, different chapels that he was would spend time manning them and being there. And he would, and we had stories yesterday of people who had come to know the Lord through his ministry. He would spend time there. After COVID, people wouldn't come into the chapel very much, which is a tractor trailer. But he would just spend time sitting in the lounge. And there'd be TVs in the lounges and stuff for the truckers. And then after some program or something was on, he'd be handing out Transport for Christ leaflets, and it's a highway news or something. And then he'd get into conversation with an individual. And one of those individuals gave a testimony of how he related to him. And one of the things that he was known for was his ability to listen. How do we do it that? Sometimes if somebody's talking to us, what are we doing? We're already thinking what we want to say back, and we're not listening then to what's going on. But he had the ability to listen. And one of his driver, one of the men, asked if he would be baptized. And he talked to somebody about it, and they said, "Well, yeah, you have a bottle of water in the refrigerator there. You can baptize him." So they baptized him, and he went on his way rejoicing, continuing to have follow-up with him in these last years. And other testimonies of how he would reach out to get drivers. You know, a trucker reaching a trucker is certainly a place where we, you and I, can look and step into the place where we might share the good news with someone and then have follow-up with them. Luke 10:17 says, "The 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Wow. And Colossians 1:10, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful to every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." Of course, flying to Louisiana, we were certainly expecting that our pilots that were up there running the plane had a lot of knowledge and experience of how to operate that plane. Just as here, we are to have fruitful lives for every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Also, how are we sustained in times of discouragement? And if I say Psalm 3:5, many of you know that verse by memory and practice. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Elijah, fleeing away from Jezebel, he had to lean on the Lord and trust him, even though we know the stories about that, which we won't go into. But he supplies our needs in times of famine. He did for Elijah with those cakes. He is our companion also in time of trial. That song, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Yes, think about that. Think about that in light of an illustration here. The vine clings in the fiercest storm. The vine clings to the oak during the fiercest of storms. Although the violence of nature may uproot the oak, 20 trendles still cling to it. If the vine is on the side of the tree opposite the wind, the great oak is its protection. If it is not, if it's on the exposed side, the tempest only presses it closer to the trunk. In some of the storms of life, God intervenes and shelters us, while in others, he allows us to be exposed so that we will be pressed more closely to him. Where are we at in our lives? What are the experiences that we go through? What have you been through? What are you going through? Yes, we need to be continually to lean on Jesus. Jesus' shoulders are so much bigger than ours. I know someone that was saying that they were going through a situation and they were dealing with things in life that were really heavy. And he said, I said, hi, I talked to him about it. He said, I go home at night and I let the Lord have them. Let the Lord have those situations on his shoulders. His are bigger and I depend on him. Through it, then I can sleep. So how do we continue to reach out to others? We reach out to our relatives. Do we have a concern for those in our families who are not walking with the Lord? Or those who are walked with the Lord and strayed away? Or it seems sometimes we're more concerned about those outside our families. Or we're more concerned about those who are overseas. I know there was a person. The story is about a person who was going to go overseas, wanted to go overseas in missions. But the doors just weren't opening for that to happen. What happened, that person got involved at home some way, however that was, and later on, the door opened for her to go across, to serve across the waters, overseas. How about reaching out to our friends? Do we show them that we care? Those are our friends that are in need of Jesus. Can they count on us for a listening ear, as I mentioned before? Do we have a listening ear? Or are we too busy? And that is not pointing all five out that way. It's pointing them back at me. I also need to be careful of my life. Am I too busy? Am I willing to listen? I got a phone call yesterday and a lady called me, neighbor down the street, and she was having some problems. And she had it on the phone for me to call her. And she had a problem with her vanity, the drain wouldn't go down. And I said, well, all you can do, you can reach in back there and pull it down. Then she called me later and she said she got it taken care of. So that was good, that felt good. Those are our friends that we can share with because we have the same goals ahead, the brothers and sisters in life. Our neighbors, those we come in contact with, who we see in various places at various times. Or those that we meet at work. Do they know that we are Christians? Or do we keep them guessing by our lifestyle, or by the way we talk, or whatever we watch or see, or whatever? Are we sharing that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives? Are we sharing that Jesus Christ is Lord? We know we have all sinned, but Christ died on the cross for my sin and for your sin. He suffered for me, but then he rose on that third day, and he is now in heaven interceding for you and I today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for walking the walk and talking the talk and being there interceding for you and I today. He comes to live in our hearts of every believer that has accepted him as Lord in their lives. And I close with this illustration from Julie Ward Howe, author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic, once wrote to a very prominent senator of the U.S. on behalf of a man who was suffering great injustice. He replied to her letter, "I am so taken up with plans for the benefits of the race that I have no time for individuals." She pasted this in her album with this comment: "When last heard from our Maker, he had not reached this altitude where he would not be able to talk to us." That person who has no interest in individuals, who never tries to rescue even one soul, has a spirit different from what that of the Master, whose personal words and work make up the bulk of his life and record of what we read about this morning. Folks, we're going back to John 15. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." As we go forth from here today and this week, may we, in our lives, be the sharers of the good news that makes us tick, that gives us inspiration to go on, because we have the fruit of the Spirit, that of love, joy, peace, and so on. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for being gathered together as believers, as children of yours on a journey. Help us, Lord, as we reach out and be kingdom builders in this Manheim community, or the places where we live, or all the people that we come in contact with throughout a week's time. Grant us, Father, the salt factor in our lives. Forgive me and forgive us of those times where we have failed and come short of doing that which we should. I just pray a blessing upon each one, so that you might go forth with us to promote the kingdom of God, and that you may receive the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen.